Well, good evening. It's good to be with you in Sainfield Baptist this evening under strange circumstances, but the last couple of times I was here, you weren't sat in these pews. They were empty. So it's good to see you here, and it's lovely to see your faces as I join you this evening. We're turning in our Bibles, please, to the book of Genesis. The book of Genesis, please, in the chapter 32. Genesis in the chapter 32, and we're going to read from the verse 24 there in that chapter. I would like to speak to you this evening under the title, He Blessed Him There. He Blessed Him There. Genesis, please, in the chapter 32, and we're going to read from the verse 24. And this is the word of the Lord, and it reads, And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, Let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. And he said unto him, What is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. And Jacob asked him and said, Tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, Wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name? And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. And he passed over Penuel, the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. Therefore the children of Israel eat not of the sinew which shrank, which is upon the hollow of the thigh, unto this day, because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh in the sinew that shrank. Verse 29, the last few words, and he blessed him there. He blessed him there. How are we to know the Lord's blessing in our individual lives? How are we to know the Lord's blessing corporately as a local assembly? This evening, we want to deal with a very particular incident and a very interesting character that we find here in the pages of Scripture. And that character, of course, is the character of Jacob. The character of Jacob is surely one in whom each of us can identify with in each of our lives in our battle against sin. You know, when we think of Jacob, quite often one word will spring to mind, and that word would be deceiver. Deceiver. But when you sit down and you consider the whole life of Jacob and you read his story from beginning to end, from start to finish, you'll discover that he was righteous. As he tried quite often to do the right thing, and he often had the right motives. But there were other times that he was mean, and he was twisted, and he was just utterly deceptive. You may know of Longfellow's poem, There Was a Little Girl. I couldn't quote the whole poem to you, but there's one line that always sticks out to me, and it's this. When she was good, she was very, very good. But when she was bad, she was horrid. And that's a little bit like Jacob. We could say that of Jacob. Jacob is a character from whom we can learn many hard lessons from as the children of God. Why do I say that? Well, because he's just like you and he's just like me. Jacob was a man of God. He was saved, to use the New Testament word. But he still had so much of the old man in him. He had so much of the old ways in him, and God needed to deal with Jacob. And dear brothers and sisters in Sainfield Baptist Church this evening, could we not say that we ourselves, that in each of us, there is maybe a little bit, or maybe if we're being real with ourselves, there's a lot of Jacob in each of us this evening. Spurgeon once said this. He said, If any man thinks ill of you, do not be angry with him, for you're likely worse than he thinks you to be. You see, at times we do allow that old sinful nature to reign and to rule. And we so easily quench the Spirit of God. And sadly, it has to be said at times that we don't see huge differences between the church and the world anymore. In what we watch, in what we read, even in what we say at times, the list could go on. And God wants to deal with the old carnal, that stubborn, that self-sufficient, that self-confident spirit that so often marked Jacob and can mark each of us in our lives. I just want to note four things from this passage this evening. He blessed him there. We're going to note where the Lord blessed Jacob. He blessed him there. The first thing I want you to note is this. It was a place of trial. It was a place of trial. God had brought Jacob to the point that he couldn't turn anywhere else apart from God. You see, believers who are to be greatly used of God must come to the point that they realize that absolutely nothing of themselves will benefit the work of God. Jacob came to an end of himself. Is that not what the hymn writer means when they wrote the words that we've just sang? May the love of Jesus fill me, as the waters fill the sea, him exalting, self-abasing. This is victory. What does that word self-abasing mean? It means to belittle oneself. It means to acknowledge our great need of the Lord. Self-abasing. You know, when our race is run, the Lord isn't going to say, well done, good and faithful pastor. No. He's not going to say, well done, good and faithful elder, or well done, good and faithful deacon. That's not what the Lord's going to say. He's going to say, well done, good and faithful servant. You see, we need to get to the stage in each of our lives where we come to an end of ourselves. And we realize that the only place that we can stand is in Christ. We need to get to the point where we realize that this self-abasing that we've been singing about, this humbleness, is the only way that we can live for the Lord. God had to take Jacob through a fiery trial to get to this point. You see, I wonder, do you remember, there had been trouble with Laban, his father-in-law. He had just escaped out of Laban's clutches to discover that Esau, his brother, may have been seeking revenge and was on his way. And he had fled from the lion and he had run into the arms of the bear, if you like, and he feared that his wives and his children would be utterly destroyed by his revengeful brother. It was a fearful trial, and the mere fear of it would have left scars in his heart. You see, in this trial, everything as far as life was concerned seemed to be against him. But we read that in the place of trial, he, the Lord, blessed him there. You know, quite often for the people of God, the severest trials are the times of the finest mercies. This is so often the case. I'm sure most of you are familiar with the story of Corrie Ten Boom. In her book, The Hiding Place, Corrie Ten Boom tells of a time that she discovered that God was working even in the most horrific circumstances. If you know the story, you may remember that Corrie and her sister Betsy had been imprisoned by the Nazis for hiding Jews behind the wall in their home in Holland. And the Nazi prison conditions, they were absolutely unbearable. And Corrie wrote that during their time in the prison camp each day, and I quote from the book, it says, it grew harder and harder. Even within these four walls, there was too much misery, too much seemingly pointless suffering. Every day, something else failed to make sense. Something else grew too heavy. Living conditions were rife. There were fleas in the prison, and yet it was the fleas that kept the prison guards away from their prison block, that allowed these women to gather together to read God's word and to glean from it and hold a Bible study each day. I wonder this evening, are you in the midst of a trial really at this very moment? Maybe you've stepped into the meeting this evening and you're crippled with hopelessness. You can't see any way through. You're worried about that family member or close friend who is so ill. You're worried about your own circumstances, or maybe you're worried about a family circumstances. Things are difficult at work. Maybe there's a situation that's bothering you. There's a few young people in. Maybe there's something that's bothering you at school, and it's difficult at school at the moment. Let me tell you that the Lord is with you in the trial. Jacob was in a terrible trial. And it's written for us in Scripture that the Lord blessed him there. And oh, that each of us would have faith to believe that. For the present trial that you're in, or perhaps the one that you will enter in coming weeks or days, that at a future day, that the trial that you're currently in, that you'll be able to look back and you'll be able to say, the Lord blessed me there. The Lord met with me in the trial. He taught me lessons that I never would have learned had I not been in the trial. The Lord bless me there. You know, he will bless you there. Where he's trying you, whether it's in the deep waters or in the furnace where he refines you again and again, or maybe it feels like the hot coals are being heaped upon you, he'll bless you there. You remember the disciples? They feared when they entered into the cloister. But it was there that they saw the Savior transfigured. And so often we fear the cloud that we're going into, the cloud that we must enter. But it's quite often it's there that we pass into the secret place of the Most High. We're under the shadow of the Almighty. We see more delightful visions of himself. How often it is that we've been blessed in the place of trial. So let's not dread to go there again. Because where it's difficult, even in the valley, the Lord goes with us there. His promise is true. He will never leave you, nor forsake you. You know, Jacob, he was a man who had many encounters with the Lord. And Lloyd-Jones describes this passage as the great turning point in Jacob's life. You'll remember, I'm sure, that he had an experience at Bethel where there was the ladder, when he was running from his brother Esau. And on this occasion, it certainly had an effect on him, but it didn't change him. After the experience at Bethel, he continued on as the same man. But in our passage this evening at Jabbok, he becomes a different man. At Jabbok, he becomes a new man. You see, there's two very special places that belong to Jacob. One is Bethel, and the other is Jabbok. At Bethel, he saw a ladder. At Jabbok, he saw the Lord. At Bethel, he became a believing man. At Jabbok, he became a broken man. At Bethel, he died to sin. At Jabbok, he died to self. He came away from Bethel with a spring in his step. He came away from Jabbok with a lasting limp in his walk. God taught Jacob in the trial one of the most valuable lessons that you and I could learn in our relationship with the Lord. Here's the lesson. Are you listening? Here's the lesson that the Lord taught Jacob. If we are to experience the heights and the blessings of God Almighty, we must bow very, very low. If we want to know God's victory, we must admit that all our fleshly efforts will end in defeat. If we want to know the heights and the blessings of God, we must bow very low. I want to tell you something. In the Lord's work, you and I are utterly useless and powerless unless the Lord's hand is in it. It was the place of trial. The Lord blessed him there. How are we to know God's blessing this evening? Well, we must come to an end of ourselves. Christ exalting. Self-abasing, This is victory. It was the place of trial. Secondly, I want you to know that it was a personal place. It was a personal place. Now, this is vital. I want you to look at verse 24 with me. Read what it says. It says, "And Jacob was left alone. And there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day." And Jacob was left alone. I want you to just very quickly see what happens earlier in the chapter to give us a little bit of context to why Jacob is now left alone. Very briefly, Jacob, knowing his brother is coming, he divides his company in two. He's a schemer. He's a planner. And he gets the order of things all wrong. You see, he does everything by himself. Then he prays. Look at verse 7. It says, "Then Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed." He knows his brother's coming. He's afraid. He's distressed. His revengeful brother's on the way. And he divided the people that was with him and the flocks and the herds and the camels into two bands. And the idea was if Esau came along that he would only smite one of the companies and the other group would be able to escape. But then once all the planning was done, after all that, in verse 9, he turns to the Lord and he prays. I wonder this evening, for you, is prayer the last resort too? I wonder, do you scheme and do you plan and then do you pray? You see, when you're facing that crisis in the home, or when you're facing that crisis in the workplace, or when you're facing an individual crisis, I wonder, is prayer your last resort rather than your first thought? Can you see Jacob here? He's planning. And then he tries praying. But then after praying, he tries paying. You see, once he had finished with his prayer, he sent gifts on to Esau, almost like a peace offering. Sadly, after his prayer, he reverts back to his old scheming and his bribing ways. And he took his burden to the Lord. But instead of leaving his burden with the Lord, he took it back. How often it is that we do that? How often it is that we carry our burden, we take it to the Lord in prayer, but we just walk away just as worried about it as we were when we took it to the Lord. When the Lord says, cast our burdens upon him. Jacob knows that he can't be right with God until he's right with his brother, but he's going to learn that he can't get right with his brother until he's right with God. He was a burdened man. And I want you to see that it was when Jacob was alone that God dealt with him. It was when Jacob was alone that we read these words, he blessed him there. You know, being alone with God is one of the most neglected things in the life of many Christians today. Now, I know as well as you do that in the world that we live in 2021, it doesn't lend itself to moments where we can be alone. The phone is always ringing. There's always a notification. There's always a message on it. There's always a phone call to attend to. The family demands are great. The pile of work is heavy. And so the excuses roll on. And the focus in life today, it's to be kept busy. No thinking time. No quiet time. Think about it. When you get up, maybe you watch the news as you eat your breakfast. Maybe you're checking what you've missed on social media. Then you head off to school or work. And you see, and you're busy with whatever's going on there. Then you come home. Maybe the TV is blaring. Maybe you go out somewhere in the evening where there's lots of people and time alone isn't factored in. Never mind time alone with God. But it's when Jacob was finished with his busyness that this great event happened. And Jacob was left alone. Now many of us are terrified of being left alone. That's completely understandable. We fear loneliness. But listen, we're not talking about loneliness here. You can't have loneliness when you're alone with God because you're alone with someone. I wonder, dear brother, dear sister, in the meeting this evening, when was the last time that you were truly alone with God? That you allowed God into all areas of your life. That you let him penetrate you. That you let him mold you. I want you to notice something. It doesn't say here that Jacob wrestled with the man. It says the man wrestled with Jacob. Here he is, Jacob. And you know, the prophet Hosea tells us that this man who wrestled with Jacob, it was the angel of the Lord. It was a pre-incarnate state of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then when the angel of the Lord had finished wrestling with Jacob, it says in verse 30 that he says, I have seen God face to face. He was wrestling with the Lord. The Lord had come to wrestle with him. Now listen, you must see this. The emphasis here is not on Jacob wrestling with Christ. The emphasis is on Christ wrestling with Jacob. Jacob wasn't trying to get something from the Lord. The Lord was trying to get something from Jacob. God wanted to break Jacob, to put an end to his confidence in the flesh, to deal with the old scheming shrewd Jacob and bring him to the place where he would say, yet not I, but through Christ in me. And yet Jacob fought the whole night long. Let me ask you this evening. I wonder, are you withholding something from God? I wonder, is God wrestling with you at the moment, and you know it very well? You see, each of us must be careful that we're not defending some area and refusing to yield our whole lives to the Lord. Are you doing what Jacob did? Are you fighting with God about the changes that God wants to make in your life? Are you wrestling against God's effort to fill your life with blessing? The Lord wants you and I to come to the place where we honestly say, it's not about me, but it's all about Christ. What will it take for my will to bend? What will it take for my ways to mend? The answer comes with the breaking of the day when I at last let God have his way. You see, God brought Jacob to the place where he was alone that he might bring him to the place of desperation. Look at verse 25. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. You see, not only was it the place of trial that the Lord blessed him there, not only was it a personal place that the Lord blessed him there, but thirdly, it was the place of conscious weakness. It was a place of conscious weakness. Can you see what happened to Jacob? The angel of the Lord touches the hollow of his thigh and he is never the same. The Lord had conquered him. And this is an invaluable place for every Christian to come to, where God conquers us. There's something to be said when we acknowledge God's greatness after being defeated. We must know that we serve a God who is greater than us, and we cannot conquer much of anything until he conquers us. Jacob, now acknowledging that God is his only hope and his greatest need, he turns to the Lord and he says, have a look at it. It says, I will not let you go unless you bless me. I'm not letting you go, Lord, until you bless me. And this wasn't Jacob dictating terms to God, as he did in previous occasions. God had overcome Jacob here, and we know that because in Hosea chapter 12 and verse 3 to 5, Jacob sought this blessing, we're told, with weeping. He knew he was defeated, yet he desperately wanted a blessing from the one who's greater than all. Listen to what we read in Hosea 12, 3 to 5. It says this, he took his brother by the heel of the womb, and in his strength, he struggled with God. Yes, he struggled with the angel and prevailed. He wept. He wept and sought favor from him. He found him in Bethel, and there he spoke to us. That is, the Lord God of hosts, The Lord is his memorable name. His thigh is now out of joint. He pleads with the Lord for a blessing. I wonder, can you see him the next morning coming over that hill in the horizon towards his family? As the sun rises, a man limps over the horizon. His limp, it's distinct. His limp, it shows that he's a marked man. He's a man who's been touched by God. It tells us he was limping. Verse 31, he halted upon his thigh. You know, we don't have today enough marked men and women. You know the sort. When you step into a room with them, when you listen to them, when you spend time with them, you know that they've been set apart for the Lord. You know that they're different. You know that their strength is only found in the Lord. A marked man. Finally, Jacob had acknowledged his weakness. Finally, he had humbly called upon the name of the Lord for blessing. I wonder, is that what you and I need to do this evening? I wonder, are you a marked man? I wonder, are you a marked woman? To know the blessings of the Lord in our lives, we must be spending that time with him. We must desire it. I wonder, do you crave the blessing of the Lord? You see, it was a place of trial. The Lord blessed him there. It was a personal place. The Lord blessed him there. It was a place of conscious weakness. The Lord blessed him there. And finally, it was a place of communion. It was a place of communion. Do you recognize it? I want you to see that Jacob, he was given a new name. How the Lord turned to Jacob and he said he would no longer be called Jacob, but his name would be Israel. The name of the place was changed. Jacob changed the name of the place. He called it Peniel. That is the face of God. Because there he had seen God face to face, to see God. Blessed indeed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And come into union with Christ, and be able to look at God, and be able to experience him, not just that foretaste that we so often sing about here as we journey in this earth. This is to speak with God. And have a relationship with him, to be able to pour out our hearts before him, to hear him speaking to us as we open his word each day. Do you know it's a miracle each time you open that book on your knee tonight? Because when we open it, we listen to the very words of God. Have you ever really thought of that? The book before us, it's inspired. Each time we open it, the Spirit of God, the author of it, is with us to aid us in our understanding. What a privilege to gather in this place tonight and gather around this book and to study it. What a privilege it is in our individual walks with the Lord to sit with his word and to let him speak to us and guide us each day. What a privilege. And brethren and sisters, this evening we miss a thousand blessings because we're too busy to commune with God. We're here, we're there, we're everywhere except where we ought to be. Even in church life, we can be so busy with activity. We can be so busy doing so many things. We're running to this and we're running to that instead of sitting with Mary at the Master's feet. He blessed Mary as she sat there, do you remember? And there too he will bless us when we sit at his feet and we spend time gleaning from him. There was a new name, Israel. There was a new place, Peniel. He had met God face to face. It was a new day. It was a new day. The sun rose. And here he was limping over the horizon towards his family. I wonder, do you, dear brother, dear sister, tonight need a new day in your walk with God? Don't fight with God. Don't wrestle with God. Yield to the Lord. Could it be that you're sat here this evening and you just know the Lord's speaking to you? You know that you've been wrestling with the Lord for a long time, not letting him into all areas. Well, say to the Lord, this is exactly what I am. But Lord, you can change me. You can transform me. You can make me what you want me to be. I've been a Jacob. I've been a manipulator. I haven't lived as I ought. I've been a cheat. I've been a con artist. I've been hard-hearted. But Lord, I want to be a channel of blessing for you. Do you know in this situation what Jacob learned? He learned to lean on the Lord. What have I to dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arms, I have blessed peace with my Lord so near. Leaning on the everlasting arms. But let's ask, what happened with Esau? Remember, we're in the place of trial. And Esau, as far as Jacob is concerned, is on his way to destroy his family. Well, in the next chapter, it tells us this. It says, and Esau ran to meet him and embraced him and fell on his neck and kissed him, and they wept. You see, when Jacob took care of his relationship with God, God took care of his relationship with Esau. You know, we read in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 7, these words. It says, for when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. It was a place of trial. The Lord blessed him there. Where Jacob came to an end of himself. Who are you relying on in the trials of this life? It was a personal place. The Lord blessed him there. It was when God got Jacob alone that he spoke. I wonder, are you spending that personal time alone with God? It was a place of conscious weakness. The Lord blessed him there. Jacob realized only with God in control of all areas of his life that he would know God's full blessing. Is God in control of all areas of your life? It was a place of communion. He blessed him there. All to Jesus, I surrender. All to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him, in his presence daily live. I surrender all. Do you? We must ask that question before the Lord. Do you, do I, surrender all? Oh, that in all circumstances, that this hymn would be our testimony. And that in the trials of life, that you and I would be able to look back in a future day and say, the Lord, he blessed me there. We're going to sing that hymn together just now. All to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him, in his presence daily live. And then I will hand the meeting back over.